Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to John Talk Radio tonight. This is our April the 11th show. My special guest is Roxana. You just heard Only You from her latest release, Exotica, which you can go on her website, which is roxanamusic.com, and that will be a link to purchasing her record and learning all about her and what's going on. Roxana, welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for having me. Good to be here.
It's really great to have you on. My journey with talking to musicians from all over the world, I never thought it would get to this point where I would be so lucky and blessed to be able to talk to people that make beautiful music, and not only to make beautiful music, but to do it for the right reasons and the right purpose. And I think that you and I talked a little bit before the show about the power of music and how that it can change people's lives and how it can reach people where other means of communication just won't work. If
Right.
I would like to start the show out, Roxana, and if you could talk about, I know that you have had experience of singing to people that were very ill and the people that had dementia and different issues and problems.
Yes.
Where normal communication was just not working. But through your music, you reached a place. To me, there's nothing more interesting than that. You reached a place in that person, down into their inner soul, spirit, whatever we want to call it, that touched that person. Talk about that. If you could just, like, we could let to the listeners could know about your experience doing that.
Yes, for sure. To be honest with you, I learned that as a child when I was growing up in Iran, in the middle of war, and I turned to music. I used to listen to Olivia Newton-John, Madonna, Julio Iglesias, Michael Jackson, and every time there was something sad going on outside in politics, I turned to music. It healed my soul. Then I was heartbroken. I wrote beautiful song, Unforgotten, and I listened to beautiful songs, and it healed me. Then I tried to practice that as a student nurse and as a nurse. I'm a registered nurse here in Canada. When they were not feeling too good, I would sing for them. To be honest, this is how it happened. At around 5 o'clock, I used to work at this nursing home. We would take all the patients, we'll put them in their wheelchair, take them to the front, and play music for them. Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, all those beautiful classical music, and they used to enjoy it. And I felt bad for all those bedridden patients who were conscious and they couldn't get out of the room, and I felt really bad for them. What I did is I went to one of the patients' rooms. I really liked her. I loved all my patients, but she was very special. I sat down and I said, "You know what? I want to sing a song for you." She goes, "Really?" I said, "Yes." I started singing for her, and then she started crying. She goes, "Thank you so much. That really changed me." I decided to do that for her and other patients, and I saw the difference when they were not eating well, they're not responding well, they didn't want to take their medication. All I had to do is trick them by singing, and they would open their mouth, and I said, "Would you take this medicine for me now, or would you eat, or would you talk?" And it worked. I continued on doing that at the hospital that I was working for this patient, a younger gentleman who had major depression, other diagnosis, which I can't discuss about. And I started singing to him every day, and he loved it. He was getting better and better. The doctors and the nurses came to the room. They said, "This patient is going to be discharged because he says you have healed him with your music, with your voice."
That's great.
I was so happy, and as I was singing, there was a gentleman behind the door clapping, and he was his father. He goes, "You healed my son with music, with your voice. I would like you to do that to the whole world." So my plan is to do that, to bring peace and love with my music.
Well, Roxana, I'm with you. I think your music is amazing because I listen to a lot of music, and I'm not just saying this. And to tell you the truth, it's like a lot of music to me, it sounds really good, but I always go for that heart to heart. If it touches my heart and I know it comes from that person's heart, I asked this songwriter not too long ago. I was interviewing a person who has been writing songs for a long time, and I asked him about that. What is it that you look for as a songwriter, and what is it about your music? And he said, "Well, you got to do two things. You have to be honest, and you have to sing from your heart."
That's right.
And he said, "Don't worry about anything else." And
That's true. Most of the songs that I sang in this album are coming from my own story, from what I felt. And if you don't feel it, how can you sell it? How can you put it into music? How can you? You can't. You have to feel what you're singing, so it comes out with passion. It sounds totally different. And including all the musicians that I have in this album, all those incredible artists have worked with major artists such as Pink Floyd, Kelly Clarkson, Madonna, Michael Jackson's. Everybody I work with, they're really, really great musicians. And everything I have in this album is organic. There's nothing synthetic about this album. So I tried my best to make this as organic as possible.
Now, is it easy for you to share your music with other musicians, Roxanna, and also to share your music with producers that you know they have to, they can do what they have to do, great musicians and producers, but it's your music. And at the end, it has to sound like what you want it to sound like. Is that an easy thing for you to do, to trust your music to other people?
Yes, you know, because most of the people that I work with personally, they totally understand if everything was raw and I told them exactly what sounds. I got other examples from other classical songs or jazz songs. You know, naming one of the best, well, everybody is really good and the best in this album, but Chris Botti, he's a...
Oh, yeah.
He won so many Grammys. He's an incredible trumpeter. I was so honored to have him, you know, do duet with me in three of my songs in this album. I didn't even have to tell him how I wanted to sound. All I had to tell him is, like, you know that song by you, Emmanuel? You know that song, The Look of Love? That's how I wanted to be, and he played it. Most of the musicians in this album, they did the same thing. I trusted them. I told them how I like it, and they did it, and I truly connected with every single musician in this album.
Yeah, that's a topic that we could talk about, because the making of the album, I just want to kind of roll back a little bit to the singing, to the patience, and because I think I was, when I was preparing for this interview and I was thinking about it, Roxanna, I was thinking about what's the similarity for you when you were singing to that young man that was very ill and you were singing the song to him, and compare that to how it was for you in the studio. Was it the same? Were you using the same techniques and singing? Because I think that's so important, because what you were doing, although your audience was just one person, you were touching that person in an emotional state, in a place that they were really needing help. And did you use that same spirit of singing and the same technique when you went into the studio to sing?
Absolutely. When I sing in the studio, when I do sing in the studio, I close my eyes and I have the dim light. I pretend that I'm singing with all those patients and all those people, all those friends who are going through what I'm going through. I connect with everybody's soul, and I want them to understand it's going to be okay. Like the song, Close Your Eyes, that song is very healing. If you listen to it, it's about hope. It's about there's a light at the end of the tunnel. When I sang it, I had to close my eyes and sing it from the bottom of my heart, and I believe in it. And then once you do, it touches the people's soul and making them understand that this is not going to be it. The world is not going to end like this. There's going to be better days coming. I did have the same technique as I was doing for my patients, that I truly look into their eyes, or I express my words in a way that it's belief. You believe in that. I definitely did what you just said. I use the same techniques on a patient than I did in the studio, for sure.
Yeah, and that's, to me, so interesting, because in your training as a nurse, and I know that, I've never gone through that training, so I don't know what it's like. But I know that there's the physical, and then there's the spiritual part, you know, of the human being. And there's that I don't know whether you would call it a subconscious, Roxanne, or what you would call it, but that's that place that if you can reach that place, you know you've really, that's the place I think that the healing takes place, and that's where people can... Maybe you're sitting in a bed, you know, like some of these folks, and I've experienced some of that with my own family members, where, you know, it's sad because you want them to be up and active and alive, and it just doesn't seem like that's working. What is it
Yes.
that you think that by music, Roxanna, and through music, where do you think that's reaching people? Is it reaching them in a subconscious level? Is it reaching them? I mean, because it's obviously they're having trouble physically. That, to me, is very interesting.
I think it's emotional. It's in their heart and it's in their mind. Just last night, my friends and I went to karaoke, and I sang a song by Mariah Carey, Without You. And this gentleman was sitting in front of me. He started crying, this older gentleman, crying, saying, "You have such a beautiful voice, the way you sing it." And again, it's not about only healing their body as a medicine. It's music is a medicine to your soul. It's a medicine for your emotion, for your heart. Especially the instruments that I use in this album are very, as I said, organic. The sound of the water, the wind, it's natural. You feel connected to it. You have to feel the connection to this music when you sing it. And again, the lyrics that I used in my album are all coming as a person, as a normal person, nothing about violence, nothing about wanting to hurt somebody else, like many artists out there who are singing about violence and wanting to hurt each other. The lyrics makes a lot of difference. And when you sing to patients that way, you have to use your lyrics well, your voice in a tone that it goes to their soul. I believe that it heals their hearts and their mind that way.
That's truly incredible. Now, you talked about growing up in Iran and the problems with war and all the different things that were going on and how you used music to give you that strength. Talk about that a little bit, because I think that's one of the things that I look back on my life and I go back to when I was a child and I had a musical family. My mother played the piano. My grandmother played the piano. There was always music in my family. And I always found that as a refuge, Roxanne. I found that as a place of strength where I could go and I could listen to that no matter what was going on in my life. Explain that, how that worked with you when you were young. And maybe was there music in your family, and was it a musical family? And talk a little bit about that.
My mother, which I lost a couple of years ago, she loved music and she sang. She was a big fan of Julio Iglesias and Olivia. That's why I love her so much. Those two singers are my favorite. I listen to them, and then of course, music comes from my mom. But how it healed me as a child to escape, it was the word I should say is escape. I literally escaped from the outside world, the reality. I just went to my room, and I played the music, and I just danced with Michael Jackson songs, Olivia's.
Yeah.
I pretended like I'm part of that world. And then sometimes I would put my dolls all in the corner, and I perform for them. And as I'm talking about it, it feels like just like yesterday that I performed for my dolls or my friends. They will all sit there, like, you're all my audience. You're gonna see me sing. It just takes you to a different world. It just healed me. I forgot that there's actually war going on out there. So, and then, you know, one thing else you need to know about the healing part is for my mother. When she was in the hospital, she asked me several times for her to sing for her, and I did. And she said to me, you make songs in this. I was just in the middle of making the album, like Only You, I was singing Loved. She goes, you made song for your dog, my best friend. You made song for your lover, everybody except your mother. And unfortunately, when she passed, I did the song Beautiful Rose for her. And believe me, every time I hear that, I feel that she's listening to it and she's proud of me. And it does heal me to know that she's okay and she's out there.
And I think that means a lot to me too, because I think that, yeah, that's an incredible story. And I'd like to play that song just in a minute. A couple of minutes. But I also think, Roxanne, it's so important that people, because in schools, I live in Ohio, and a lot of times when the school systems get in economic problems, they begin to cut art and they begin to cut music classes. And I think that's probably the worst thing they could ever do.
Because, that is very sad. That's very unfortunate.
Right.
Yeah, and but best they could do is just take a tape, take a what do you call your iPod in the classroom with the speakers and play it on.
Yeah, and I think that what we found, that my daughter is a social worker, and she's found that same thing that you were talking about, Roxanna. There are times that she just cannot reach kids. These are like between, and this is kind of sad, but between 6 and 8 years old that are incredible problems with their families, and they're having a hard time with society, you know, just being accepted and accepting themselves, I think, is a big one. But with her, she's found also, like you were saying, playing music, and it doesn't matter what kind it is, that they begin to open up. And also, one of the things excuse me, that I found just recently, and I'm sharing this with people, and I think that people know this, but I'm just kind of figuring it out. When I was talking to this one lady who was a principal of a school, and she was saying they had kids that had trouble, Roxanne, and they didn't know how to reach them. They would try everything you could possibly think of, and it was impossible. And they started this art program where they would have them start drawing or painting or whatever it was creatively. And they said, there is no boundaries. Do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. don't have any restrictions. You can put anything you want on canvas, or even if it's singing or if it's playing. And there was that type of release that they had from way down. We're talking earlier about that spiritual, that heartfelt thing, and it came, and they would learn so much from that.
Yes, you know what? It's been proven by scientists, actually, that music does make you smarter. They say that if you listen to classical music and do your homework, it makes you concentrate more, and then you understand the subject more. So I don't understand how they could cut music from schools. That's very unfortunate to hear. They should bring it back. Or I believe that the students should just get together, hold each other's hand, and sing with each other.
Yeah, and a lot of times they do that. You know, it's like, it's great. And I've talked to people before, Roxanne, in my little journey here with this show, talking to different people that how, you know, they weren't able to connect maybe in athletics, in math and English and things like that. They just weren't able to do it. But with music, when they started creating music, it gave them a confidence. And then they knew, hey, I can do this. My guest is Roxanna, and you can go on her website, which is roxannamusic.com, and we're playing music from her latest release, Exotica. Where can they get this? Where can they purchase this record, Roxanna?
If they're in Canada, they can purchase it from HMV and iTunes. There's a deluxe version for my fellow Canadians and Americans. And if you're at Amazon and Barnes & Noble in the United States, they have it, but definitely iTunes. What else? I guess that's it. It's on my website. It tells you exactly where it is. But I'm a big fan of iTunes, so I get all my music from there.
And we'll play, this is the song you were just talking about, Beautiful Rose. And this is written for your mother, correct?
And dedicated to all the mothers in heaven.
And this is Roxanna. We'll be right back after this song.
You're the memory, the angel by my side. beautiful rose, you'll always be with me.
And I'm back on John Talk Radio. My guest is Roxana. Roxana, that's a beautiful song.
Thank you so much. I actually brought tears to my eyes listening to it. Thank you.
I always enjoy talking to songwriters. I think it's an amazing gift. It's something that I've always thought, how does it happen? How does it work? Could you walk through, walk us through how Roxana, the songwriting, how does it work with you?
Well, I go through experiences like in my life, sad or happy. Most of the time when you're angry or you're sad at a person, you like to pick up the phone and say all those words to that person, or you're not supposed to for whatever reason. Instead, grab a pen and paper and jot down everything you feel. All those bad words you want to tell that person, just write it down and throw it in the garbage. But sometimes when you fall in love and you want to express how you feel, this is exactly how I felt. When I fell in love, or when I felt so happy, or when I was sad, I grabbed a piece of paper and I was in a nice atmosphere, relaxing, for example, Aruba. I just wrote exactly how I felt. And when I did, I looked at it, I'm like, that looks like it can be a great song. And I immediately imagine a melody to it. I always get my ideas from classical music, and I think about it. What would be sound like when it's out as a music? So I express my emotions into a piece of paper, and it becomes a song. Or sometimes I watch a nice movie, and I feel how I feel, and I write about how I feel, and it becomes a song. Like the song Loved, or the song Thank You, it came from watching one of my favorite TV show, Days of Our Lives. I saw it, I got inspired, how I felt, and it became a beautiful song called Thank You.
Now, when you get inspired to do it, is it, you talked about the lyrical part first, how you write that down. Is it normally that way, Roxana, where you write the lyrics and then you apply the music to it, or does it work the other way sometimes? How does that work? Which one comes first?
Well, it depends. It can happen in both. First of all, I worked with Mark Portman and Edgar Cortazar, where I wrote the songs, and they didn't really have rhymings or anything like that. I told Mark, and I told him this is how I want it. He played it with the piano, and he made a music of it. And I had the composer, Edgar Cortazar, who put the lyrics and tailored the song, the lyrics into the music. Or sometimes I would hear a beautiful tune, and I said, I want a song just like it, but I want to put a melody later for it. It all depends of how you're inspired. But most of my songs are first written of how I felt. And then I go with like the flamenco beat for it because it sounds too passionate, or something more lovey-dovey and more 70s sound to it. It all depends.
Now, when you're putting your music together, most artists have their own sound that they like and that they feel is their own sound. Do you have that, Roxana? Do you feel like you, when you're writing something, you have boundaries, or do you think, okay, this may not sound like I sounded the last song, but this is coming from me. This is going to maybe go in a different direction. And is that something that you think is good or bad for an artist to try to go to different directions that may not be a comfortable place for them?
There is nothing as right or wrong when you make music. There is no rules. And to me, in my idea, there should be no rules. There's no right or wrong or good or bad. If it's how you feel, just write it. For example, I have a few songs in this album that are flamenco, and I told Mark Portman, I said, I want this song to be flamenco, because I had heard the flamenco guitar in my head as I was writing it, or the palmas, or some of the songs like Here With Me and Beautiful Rose, I wanted to have a classical feel or jazz to it. It all depends. So that's a very good question. There is no right or wrong. If you feel it as an artist, that makes an art. Do you think Picasso or Van Gogh, they really sat there and say, this color shouldn't go with that? No, there's no difference with music. If it comes out and you feel comfortable about it and you like the way it looks or the way it sounds, go for it. You shouldn't sound like it. You don't want to be a cookie cutter in this music business. You want to be yourself.
That's probably the best advice anyone could give to an artist. Because a lot of times I talk to people that, and this has happened a lot in the last 2 or 3 months. Artists will, I'll be talking to them in an interview, or a lot of times people will just ask me my opinion on things. And I'll say, there is no formula. I said, well, I want to quit my job and I want to do this and I want to go into music. How do I do that? And I said, well, I wish I could tell you.
Well, this is the advice I would give them if I were you. If somebody asked me that, I said, you only live once. I know it's cliche, but it's the truth. And I see a lot of people at this, in these days, you see a lot of people dying of cancer or disease or accidents. Just go for it. Just give it a try, because if you don't, you never know what would have happened. At least you tried, it didn't work, or you tried, it worked. So either way, you should give it a try.
I think that's great. And I think it's true also. And when and I've talked to people, Roxana, that have, looked back at their career and they've had number one hits and they've had this success. But things are a little different in the music industry right now.
Very much so. Yep.
Talk about that, and talk about some of the advice you would give people, and how that you navigate through the music industry. Because it used to be back, 20, 30 years ago, maybe not even that long, but people would look for a record label, and if you got one, you could make it, and you had the right distribution, you had the right this, and you had the right that. There were radio stations that played your music. There were record stores. There were all these different things, but now everything has completely changed. The availability of music is amazing. I can listen to, I've had people, Roxanne and I talked to, that were in the music industry that said, well, John, I'll give it 30 seconds, and if it doesn't hook me, I'll go to another song.
That's right.
So
yes.
How do you, as an artist, Roxanne, when you're putting your music together, and I know you're doing this from your heart, but you also have to look at it from a business side. How does that fit in, and how does that fold into the spiritual part of music?
Well, I can talk about it as my own experience as an independent artist. I am an independent artist, which I have my own label called Roxart Inc. And the reason I'm so flexible and open and I can do whatever I want with my music and lyrics is because I am independent. But big artists, there's so many artists who are with labels, they can't even sing the lyrics they want to or have the music instruments that they want in their music because it's with the label and they have to go with the trend. I never bring up any names, but I love her so much. Madonna recently had been accused, that she's old and her music, they're not going to play in the radio, and she's calling them ageism. For age, you have to put up and you have to keep up with the music these days and then to have a different sound to be there. As for me, as I can only speak for myself, is that being an independent artist and getting my music out there is very difficult, obviously, because the financial background, thank God my sponsor is great, did that. But you need to have great connections. You need to have people who believe in you, and you have to have motivation. If you don't, it's not going to work as an independent artist. Labels, people, artists with labels, I believe, be prepared to be sing in a way that people are these days want to hear you in radios. That's what I say. I don't know if I should say more, but I, as an independent artist, I can tell you I was really happy to have my own sound, because I don't know if labels would have accepted that. And I gave it a try, and it's successful for me.
Yeah, and I agree 100% with that, what you said, because it's one of those things. I really like the fact that you were saying, people need to go for it, because you can have a million excuses of why not to do something. But like you said, you'll never cross the finish line unless you start that first step, and you have to do that.
Very true.
Yeah, so let's talk. I think I'll play another song. One thing I'd like to do, this will be in podcast form, Roxana, right after the show. And when people go in and listen to the podcast, I want them to know all we can let them know about you as an artist, but also to put the music, your music in there. So they're going to, hear, about the songs, about how to get to the songs, and about where the music comes from. But also I want to sprinkle it with some of your songs. So Here With Me is the song that is your single release. Talk about that a little bit.
Yes, Here With Me is a song that it came from a beautiful poetry book written in Farsi that my father gave to my mother years ago before I was even conceived. And when my mom passed, I said I want that poetry book that my mom used to read to us as a kid. And it's very hard to understand, you know, Persian poetry like Hafiz and Rumi's and Khatam, they are really famous poetry artists. So this particular one, it was bookmarked by a rose that my father gave my mom. And once I opened and I read it, I said, I have to translate it in English. Because I had an opportunity to make this song with Chris Bode, this romantic music. And when I did translate it, it turned out to be so beautiful. And I felt it. I felt like my father was telling the way he felt for my mom. And I said to Chris Bode, this is the song I would like you to play on. He heard it, he loved it, and I'm glad it's all over radios right now in the smooth jazz stations. And the music video itself, I love the fact that it's classic. You can see it on YouTube Here With Me. I love Ava Gardner, and my mother used to love Ava Gardner as well. I wanted to have and mimic her attitude and her look, so this is what it's about. It's about two people who love each other and they want to be with each other.
And when we come back after this, we'll talk about the making of the video. And you're listening to John Talk Radio, and my guest is Roxana, and this is Here With Me from her latest release, Exotica, and we'll be right back after this.
The first time, what happens when your soul begins to wake? Does it feel like heaven's reaching down? No longer here. What happens when you smile and the surrender like a child? My heart unveils like the softness of your lips I feel. Does it make you want to fall in love? How long I've waited.
Welcome you back to John Talk Radio. My special guest is Roxana. We just heard her Here With Me from her latest release, Exotica. You can go on her website, roxanamusic.com, and that will direct you to purchasing the record, which I highly recommend. Now, Roxana, when we talked briefly about the video. How does that work? Because you've got two different things going on. You've got the audio, and you've got that. And then when people hear the song, then they have their imagination, and they think about what it means. Then when you put the video together, then that's, you know, now you're crossing into a visual media. How hard is that, or how pleasurable? A lot of artists really like to do this, is to take, you know, the music part and then make it into something that's visual.
Well, thank you for saying that. I love classical movies. So what I did with this song particularly is that I wanted to make a prequel to Unforgotten, my first music video that I did with James Scott from Days of Our Lives. And again, it's from 1950s and 40s look. I wanted to make it sound very classy because the song itself is very classy. You know, the way the trumpet is playing, the smoky jazz into it. And if you look at the video, I told Samuel Gonzalez Jr., thanks to his creative mind, it's not all me, it's him too, creating what I told him. I said I like classical, like Ava Gardner movies. And he created that in 2 days. It took us 2 days to shoot. Yeah, because today people think they watch a video that is only maybe 3 minutes, 4 minutes. They think that that's it. But no, people really work hard. The costume, the makeup, the everything. So it took me 2 days to shoot this video.
Well, it's great, and I put it out so people could see it because I think it fits perfectly with the music, and I think that to me, Roxana, that would be very difficult for me. And you know, I'm looking at it from a different perspective. You're looking at it from, you wrote the music and you know what you wanted to you know, how to portray it in a visual media, which I think is incredible because to me it would be pretty difficult. But when you see this, what are your steps? So you know what you want it to look like, the video, but how do you portray that to the people that are going to be making it? I mean, you can say, well, I want it to look like this, I want it to look like that, but to me, it wouldn't be easy for me to do. How do you do that?
It is not as easy as it is, but you put your own, just like it's no difference than making the music or writing the songs. It's what you create, and you tell the people who've been doing this for a while, like Samuel Gonzalez Jr. or Matthew Ralston, who worked with Madonna, Michael Jackson's music videos. I was very honored to have him do Unforgotten. You tell them how you like it, and with their experience, they make a treatment video and show you, this is what you mean. I'm like, yes, exactly. Or some of them are a little too sexy or a little bit too violent or too mellow. You change it. You work together. I'm working with a bunch of creative artists, directors, so thank God for them. They understand and we get each other.
That's good. Yeah, is that always work? I mean, does it sometimes take a few people to get to the point where you think that they're going to create the product that you want them to?
Yes, you tell them exactly how you want it. My experience was like I told them exactly. I showed them a few clips of the movies, the old classical movies, or I told them the sound of this has to be smoky. I like this part of that. So all those people who I asked them to do this music video were, I referred to what I wanted, and they totally understood what I said. It wasn't difficult that much, but it was difficult for me to explain myself exactly, you know, because sometimes what you think in your brain is hard to express it through your mouth. But otherwise, the minute I express myself to them what I like, they totally understood.
Oh, yeah. That would be my problem, trying to get it from my brain out of my mouth. It would be difficult. But
it's like sketching what you're thinking. It's kind of hard, but yeah, hey, you got to try it.
Yeah, you got to give it a shot, but you really hit it out of the park. It's great. Now, let's take that same idea and that same feel into the studio when you were going to record Exotica. Now, when you, I know that there are a lot of songs and you've written, that you have to have a lot of songs in your mind and your heart. And most artists, when they go into the studio, they're thinking, okay, I want it to represent this certain way. What was the process for you, Roxana, to say, okay, these songs were, I want to be on the album, these songs not, how did that whole thing work? And then if you could walk us through the process of selecting the musicians and things of that nature, how you got that finished product.
First, I didn't want to make an album. I just wanted to make two demos. And I told Mark Portman, who worked with Celine Dion, Julio Iglesias, and all those major artists. I had connections with him from years before. I told him that I'd like to sing one of the songs that is healing and that is ballad. It's something like Celine Dion would sing. Immediately he said, I have something for you. Close your eyes. Sing that one. And then I said, I love Julio Iglesias' music, Como Tu. Can we do that in English and make it sound flamenco? I flew to Los Angeles and I sang those two songs. Two songs became three, became four. We wrote many, many beautiful songs. In fact, I have four other beautiful songs that are not released yet that we worked together. But it wasn't in the theme of Exotica, so maybe for my next album I'll use them. Having that done, like having my vocals first and then just the piano, which Mark is a genius on doing that, and I told him, I want real drums. So we got Greg Bisnett. I said, I want real flamenco guitar, Ramon Stagnero, Jason McGuire. They're the best, I'm telling you, in this industry. I want percussion. They brought Rafael Padilla. All those great, great musicians that I have in this album, I'm blessed to have them, is because of Mark Portman working with such great artists. And we put everything together. You know, it took about 2.5-3 years to publish this whole album because I heard it and I said, you know what? I want to add this. I want to take that away. I want to change my voice. So it didn't come out easily. One song maybe took me one day to sing, but it took me almost a year to decide how I exactly want it to sound like. And Mark says, let's release this album already. You know, you're going to change it until none of the artists that I know that I work with, they all say the same thing. They're never satisfied with the way they sound. They always think that they could do better. The minute they leave the studio, they go, ah, I could have sang better. Oh, the minute this release, they go, I could have changed the sound, but just release it and let it be.
That's a great point, too, because I've talked to different people that have gone into the studio, and that's exactly what they'll tell me. It's like, we can do another take. And I've also, Roxana, talked to musicians that have said, you know what? We're going to go in. We're going to play it. We're going to, and that's it. So you better be ready because we're going to.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I've heard of musicians that have played, like, you know, you do the tracking, and then some of them have said, we're going to go live in and we're going to play it, and we're going to capture that. That you talked about the organic style of the album, how that's real drums, it's real guitars, and I think that's awesome, and you can really feel that. And
I forgot to mention the Parag Orchestra, too. Every string you hear in this album is all from Parag Orchestra. In order for the music to be healing, it has to be organic. And, you know, organic is like food. Organic music is exactly, it's good for your ears. It's good for your soul.
That's really a good point. Because you can hear me, I can hear music today that doesn't even have a human being in it.
I didn't want to say that, but it's true. It's so true.
Yeah, and, you know, people will pay hundreds of dollars to go to a ticket, to buy a ticket to listen to a concert, which is a recording with the people singing to it. And I think that's awful. You know what I mean?
I totally agree with you. Yeah. But unfortunately, these days, the people love those kind of sounds. So you got to go with the flow, I guess.
Yeah, that's crazy. But when you put the album together and you had it, when did you know this is the way it's going to be? Because I agree with you to the fact that it can be, you're listening to it and it's your music and you think, we'll tweak this, we'll tweak that. But when you were putting it together and working with Mark on it, and you had to come to a point where you had to think, you know, this is it. It's the way it's going to be. Was that an easy thing, or do you think you can?
No, it wasn't easy.
Yeah,
no, it was me as the artist, I was never 100% satisfied, especially with my voice. I said, no, I could have sang, can I add this, can I add this, can I add that background? It's never, but I am so glad I had Mark Portman, who's much more experienced. He says, enough, you're like becoming like Julio. He's the exact same way. When other artists that I work, we're going to release this, let's go master so you can't touch it anymore. So we mastered with Bernie Grandman, who did all Michael Jackson's albums. And then when it's ready, I'm like, you know what? It sounds great, but I wish I still feel like I could change a few things in this album, but I'm happy with the way it sounds.
Oh, that's awesome. It's a really, really good. Now, is there anything coming up that you would like to talk about, like any projects or performances or anything that is coming up that you'd like the audience to know?
Yes, I am on PBS currently on Buffalo, Toronto, and Detroit. I have two concerts coming up for now. One of them is on April 23rd in Toronto at Glenn Gould Theatre CBC Center. And the other one is on Detroit on April 25th at the Magic Bag on Detroit. And if you miss all this, you can go to my website. It's there. And come and celebrate my birthday. I'll be on my birthday is on April 21st, so you can celebrate it with me.
That sounds great. Now, when you prepare for the album and you were talked about how that, you know, you're listening to it and you're thinking it can be better. Now you've got that. When you're putting it together, are you thinking about how it translates into a live concert when you're laying down the tracks? Roxanna, is that something that you're thinking about? Okay, this is good and it's going to sound great, but I also when I go on stage, we have to be able to make this, you know, people are going to hear the record. Is that ever a concern?
No, because as I mentioned, everything I have in this album is organic. There are actual people playing the drums or the guitar, so it's easy to have those actual people to come on the stage and play it. If it was synthesized, it would have been difficult to find someone. So thank God for my dancers, I love flamenco, so I have those dancers coming. As they saw it on Exotica Live, and they dance, and then the guitar, the palmas, everything so organic, they're going to be on the stage, including myself as a singer.
It will really be you. It won't be a hologram. That's great. Well, I'm just
kidding.
Yeah,
we'll think about the hologram, but yeah, I'm going to be there.
You'll really be there. And that's super. How do you, and as a performer, when you're preparing for a live show, walk us through that a little bit. Because I've talked to people, Roxanna, that are very, it's no big deal. And some of it's always, you know, anxiety, a little bit of anxiety, always like the butterflies before the performance. And then when they get on stage, it's just like the greatest thing ever. Walk us through what it's like, you know, right before the performance.
Oh, it would be a lie if I told you, oh, I have no feelings. If you feel that you don't feel the butterflies and anxiety, then you're faking it, then you're not really singing it. You have to have it because you always have that concern, what if I forget the lyrics? That's not the worst scenario. What if my voice cracks? What if something happens? What if I trip? You know, all these things go to... Like, you know, the movie, what was that funny movie, that the scary one? Final Destination, all those things, bad things happen.
Oh, yeah. The really
stage.
Bad.
Yeah, you always think that. But the minute I go on stage and I just feel the music and I start opening my mouth and singing, I completely forget everything. I just concentrate on my voice and faces of audience if I can see them, and I want to represent my music to them as best as possible.
And it's got to be a great feeling.
It is. It is exciting.
When you see, the response that you get, that's the number one reason when I talk to people, Roxanna, and I ask them about why do you do it? Because it's not easy. It definitely is not easy. But it's
no.
So rewarding. What is the number one reason why Roxanna does it? Why you sing?
I like to heal people. That's my number one goal. I like people who are going through a tough time in their life or they had a bad day. They come to see my show. Forget about it for 1 hour or so as long as I'm singing up there. Just forget about your pain and problems. Just enjoy the music and get healed. That's what I want to see. That's my biggest goal when I'm on stage.
Roxanna, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I've loved talking to you. I think your music has there's depth to it, and when I listen to it, I was just playing it just a few minutes ago for my grandson, and it was his eyes opened up And
wow, thank you very much. You don't sound like you're a grandfather, but thank you so much for playing my music.
Yes, and it's great. I have a big family, and I just love music. But thank you so much. I really appreciate it. We'll definitely have to do this again. We'll have to reconnect. And I know that you're going to have an amazing amount of success. So is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
No, I just want to tell you thank you so much for it, and thanks to everybody who's listening. And go after your dream. Don't hold back. Go for it.
Thank you so much for listening to John Talk Radio tonight, and we really appreciate it. And everybody have a great evening. And Roxana, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Penetrate.